So tonight's guest is a familiar face for Burnham podcast viewers and listeners. We're going to talk about a TikTok that we all saw, different stereotypes about church and different things. We're also going to talk a little bit about mental health and how important it is for us as men, especially, to be honest with ourselves about how we feel. We got Chris Pyle. Welcome to Burnham Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Burnham. Dude, this is episode,
151.
Ooh, not number 151, but 151 episodes. There are apparently 7 episodes that are unnumbered. Okay. Because I put some sermons in and did some other things here and there. But I didn't realize it before we sat down with PJ. That was 150th episode.
Well, that's a celebration.
Ain't it?
That's
we're rolling. The unofficial 150, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so we'll have
dope.
Some of this too. So we're already rolling, as it turns out. So the light's been on for some time. But yeah, this is episode 151.
Wow.
So, you know, pop one of those little things or whatever.
The Bacardi episode.
The Bacardi episode. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not. We're not sponsored by Bacardi or any other alcoholic beverage. Not that there's anything wrong with a little bit in moderation.
No.
We like.
It's nothing wrong with some sponsors. Hit us up.
For real. Bacardi wants to sponsor us. I don't know.
No Mad Dog 2020. But
you know, we in here on Sunday mornings, man, and we drink Robert's Sweet Red for communion.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. That or every now and then I get the rosé. Just depends on what the liquor store down
difference.
The street. Yeah, there's not. There's not any difference, really.
Y'all don't give me the bottle.
Yeah. I mean, it's in there. As a matter of fact, I got to get some more because I just looked just now and the bottle in there is empty.
You got 2 turns Sunday?
I mean, all 10 of us in here, we're getting down.
Wine and crackers.
Yeah. Well, that's the cracker. I got to explain that to one of the kids at church the other day. She was like, can I have one of the crackers? And I was like, well, it's actually bread. And then we went into, you know, what unleavened bread was. And I got to show her that it comes off of this square. It's a piece of bread, but it looks like you put a penny on a train track.
Yeah.
And it gets, you know, it's this big. So, like, that's what the bread looks like. It looks like it's a piece of loaf bread that's been run over by a train.
Did you do the whole, the burnt symbolizes this part and the stripes on the bread symbolize
like
this part.
5, so we didn't get too deep with it. But
I've heard that explained in a few sermons.
You know,
of how the bread represents the flesh. And,
yeah.
And all that. Yeah. And I'm like, I really don't know. I mean, it seems like you're probably making that up a little bit. But maybe it's a coincidence.
I actually preached communion on Sunday. We talked about 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul's reinstituting, because he's already told them once and they were getting it wrong. But I heard somebody not long ago make the argument against not even like grape juice, because what's the minimum alcohol, you know, ABV in your wine? Like, who cares? I don't care if you drink grape juice, like whatever. But that you shouldn't use anything sweet. Like, we use a sweet red wine, which is just nice.
Supposed
you know,
to use like a bitter.
Like a bitter wine. They were like, you need to relate to the bitterness of the sacrifice of Christ. And I'm like, bro, the sacrifice of Christ was hard for him, and I appreciate it, but it's pretty sweet on our end. Like,
yeah, I mean,
thank
where
God.
Do you draw the line there?
Nailing yourself to a cross.
That's
kind of, you know,
where I was thinking, but you went there. I'm all like, yeah, dude, like, you're being a little nonsensical there.
Yeah, it's you're getting into some legalism there where, like, we got to have the
religion.
Yeah, bitter wine because we're more holy or whatever.
Man, technology is way better now than it was back
then. You know,
then.
We can make sweet wine.
Yeah, and I'm sure if Jesus was here, he'd make us the best wine ever.
That's what he did when he actually made it.
What he also did was give us the means to make some pretty good wine.
We can make some good juice.
You don't have
to
drink cooking wine.
Yeah.
It's like vinegar anyway, that cooking wine.
It is. That's why it's cooking wine and not drinking wine. It's a different story. But, I don't know. You ever tried, like, you ever drank cooking wine?
Never.
I thought I was going to have some fun one night, and I was it's all we got. So, not the same.
I think I learned the same way.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, I got this wine somebody gave me or something. And you take a drink and you're like, I don't think you're supposed to drink this kind of wine.
I think that you can cook with drinking wine, but I wouldn't drink cooking wine, like specifically. Because it's just vinegar.
I'm really not
gross.
A wine drinker anyway, though.
I'm not much. It gives me heartburn if I drink like very much.
I like champagne better. Like good champagne is good.
Yeah, good champagne. The stuff they always hand out at like New Year's Eve parties where they buy it for 100 people, like it's not good.
I've had Dom Perignon one time.
One time.
And you're like, yep, that's why it's $200 a bottle.
Yeah.
But I'm not buying it.
Nope. No, it was. I had a glass sometime. One time somebody gave me. I was not going to buy
this is a
$1,400 case of wine.
Yeah, this is a $30 glass of wine.
Yeah, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. I'm good with this is water right here in this cup. I mean, that's, good enough. It's the not living water, but it keeps me alive.
It may have something living in it.
That's
Rome water.
This has been run through a filter. It's been purified, hopefully.
Drink my store-bought tap water.
Right. So there's a difference in purified then and spring water.
This is vaporized. And now they're saying that you ain't supposed to drink vaporized water because it gets rid of the nutrients. I'm like, but it tastes wonderful.
Yeah, who cares about nutrients?
And this is electrolytes added. So it's like whatever they vaped out of it, they put it back in. So we're okay.
Anyway, we're going to go through. We decided we're going to go through a series we saw on TikTok the other day.
The old TikTok of a guy holding up signs.
Holding up one sign after the other with some messages on it. I'm not on TikTok, but you gents are. I guess I'm going to have to give in and get on.
I'm responsible for 100% of the TikToks you watch, right?
Yeah. All of them. Everyone.
We kind of want to keep it that way.
Well, that was kind of my goal. I don't need one more social media like thing because I got mine. I got my Facebook and my Instagram, my Twitter, and then I've got the church Facebook.
What's Twitter?
X, as it were. Yeah. No, I'm on X.
Me too.
Yeah. It's fun. It's different. It's not Facebook. Facebook is for talking to the people down the street.
X is where I post whatever I want because I don't care if they take it away from me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the political stuff and all that. Like, I speak my opinion on there because I'm like, well, if they just take it away, I don't care.
Gets shut down, yeah.
Because I never used it really up until the last few months.
I'm a little more that way with Instagram. I've never liked Instagram.
I like Instagram. It's just kind of boring now.
Yeah. It's just reels.
Everybody getting the reels is what's making everything better because they're all trying to be like TikTok.
Yeah.
Which we may all be stuck with Facebook and Instagram reels here before too long.
We may.
Technology monopoly.
Yeah, they want to take away the TikTok.
Brings back Vine.
That would be dope.
I think Rumble buys TikTok.
You think Rumble's going to buy TikTok?
Chris Pavlovsky put in an offer.
He did. Yeah. I knew that like that was on the radar, but I didn't
know. How does that even change the situation, though? Because that's a Canadian-owned company.
It is. It doesn't because Oracle owns the servers in which our data is stored in L.A. So
he knows this stuff.
I don't even know who Oracle is.
I don't either. Is Oracle the parent company for...
Oracle's a data center, basically.
Is that about Bill Gates, Illuminati stuff?
Probably. One of them communist.
Bill Gates, Illuminati. Bill Gates and communists. I think that's fair at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Back to our tickety talks. Yeah. So this first one is Jehovah's Witnesses really do have the best knock knock jokes.
Come on, y'all. That's funny.
I had one knock on my door like 2 weeks ago.
Have you really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was them or the Mormons. It was one or the other.
Were they on a bike?
I think they were. I think I saw them in my neighborhood like a couple of days before on bicycles.
Oh, okay.
But they definitely had suits on.
Like whole suits.
Yeah.
Probably JWs.
And they were very young.
Well,
young
I don't know.
Boys.
That's more of a Mormon thing.
Yeah, I didn't really take the time to figure it out. I opened the door and I saw them there. And I was cooking dinner for the family and had everybody in the house. And I'm like, what's happening? And he's like, hey, how are you doing this evening? I'm like, we're all good here, buddy. And just shut the door. Daughter's
black
like,
name tags?
Maybe, yeah. But
the whole suit.
Daughter's like, who is that? I'm like, people selling a different version of what we already got.
Oh, man. Yeah. If anybody, even an angel from heaven, preaches to you some other gospel than what you've already heard, let him be accursed.
And it wasn't going to do them or me any good to argue with them.
Yeah, you're not changing anybody's mind.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are young, so they're like very indoctrinated with that malarkey.
You know what I always do, though? I always take whatever they have to give.
Do you?
Like a book or a magazine. I get it because that's one less they have to give somebody else. So I've got, at one point, I had like four books of Mormon, I used to have all the Watchtower. I used to have a
Book of Mormon, too.
Yeah, it's cool to read.
I ordered one off TV. Did you? In the 90s, yeah, because they were giving them away for free. And I'm just like, hey, free Bible. So I order it. And then I tell my parents I order it. I never saw it. When it came in the mail, they made sure I never got a hold of it.
Just never happened. Nope. Oh, that's awesome.
But then I ended up with one somehow, somewhere. And I used to have a JW Bible, too. I still got it somewhere.
I don't know if I've ever had one of those. I had a Book of Mormon. I had a Koran. Matter of fact, I had like six of them. Somebody gave them to me. They were like, here's the Koran. Okay, cool. And then I gave them to some people. We were studying different religions in Sunday school when I gave them to some people in my class. And so we had like our study material. And I kind of feel bad about that now. But, yeah, the Koran.
Well, if the Jehovah's Witnesses, what would be their knock-knock joke?
I don't know, man.
Their belief structure?
Probably, yeah. They got some weird things going on. They don't think that. What is it? The Jehovah's Witnesses are different about the Trinity. They're not Trinitarian.
Nah, they
think that they God believe, created Jesus.
I guess something like that. Yeah. Like Jesus is important.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
And everything, but like they believe that the 144,000 are the only ones that's really going to get to go to heaven.
That's tough.
And that everybody else inherits a renewed earth.
Right. I'm not making the cut. You know, like when you think about
144,000 in the span of the last
2,000
years?
Yeah.
Or actually, let's say 5,000 years because we got to take
six, whatever it is. Yeah.
I know there's been 144,000 better ones than me.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I don't have a chance. I'm not going. But that's not the case. That's a whole different episode for its own there.
I mean, it's like everything's just tweaked a little bit. Like in our Bible, it says in the beginning there was God, and there was the Word was God, and Word was with God and everything. Yeah. Well, in theirs is the Word was a God.
Oh.
Not God.
So I've never seen that before.
That's just what it says in their version.
Right.
And it's just little tweaks here and there like that to kind of change things up. Yeah.
So that's their knock-knock joke, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I know some personally, and they're very good people to me.
Yeah.
So I won't bag on them too bad, but yeah, I know other people that has left the organization, and it's good to see that they're thinking for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what you get into is the group think, and people would say the same about Protestant Christianity, I guess, Baptist, Methodist, you know, well, you're just like the rest of them. Well, like, I've never gone to church with a bunch of people that I agree with everything on, you know, like it's just, it doesn't go that way.
It really don't.
So even folks like in my church, I know there are things that different people in my church, we disagree on or whatever, but we agree to, you know, fellowship together and worship and do those things. That's what really matters most.
Yeah. We've talked about that before. I mean, as long as you got the heaven and hell things probably need to agree on. Everything else is just fun to talk about.
Yeah, the primary and secondary issues, and you know, you rake them, and it's not worth fighting about.
And full submersion or sprinkle? What do you want?
Baptized.
Okay. All right. They're not here to see me. To me, it's
was
the
blurred
act
the whole time?
The public part of it. You know, it's
like,
if you had a toe sticking out, I don't think
like
they're going to make
it.
It wasn't a big deal.
Most blurry. He's not the blurry.
His toe was out. We're back.
We're back. He wasn't blurry.
We're clear now. He's
the least blurry person I've ever seen.
It's the best clarity.
What's the
next
thing?
Roll it out. The best clarity.
The best clarity.
Best cameras here.
He was here the other week.
Just now.
Yeah,
he
was
here. He was there.
He was
right across the street, like
but a stone's throw from here.
100 feet from where we're sitting right now,
I'm
pretty
so
much.
That's over. Man, I'm glad that's over.
Chris, I'm gonna need you to stop eating the mic though.
You're way up in it. Yeah.
I'm trying to give you that sound.
This one is like the top of the mic there is just gonna suck the sound in.
Yeah, you can
so like you don't have to.
You can smooch back a little.
It's different from the old mics. It's like two fists these days.
We have new mics than we had last time. Is that what's going on right now?
From last time you were on, yeah. It doesn't pick up, like, this doesn't pick up sound. It all goes into, like, the hole right in front of you.
Yeah.
Those Lightning McQueen gifts.
Oh,
he gets struck by lightning.
Don't tell me. Second sign.
Second sign.
You could be a pastor and not play golf.
That's not true. Next. I'm just kidding.
I would expand on it and say you can be a pastor without mentioning sports in all your sermons.
You can, and you should. When was the last time I mentioned a sport in a sermon?
It was jiu-jitsu.
last week. Yeah. No, Sunday. It was not.
We're going to start recording my sermon so I can live this stuff down. Have I mentioned jiu-jitsu in a sermon?
Was it Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons?
Definitely not. Definitely not. There aren't any sports fans in my church. Like, there's a guy that goes to our church that kind of likes baseball. Like he's pretty big Atlanta Braves fan, I guess. But, like, he just not big sports. We're not sports people. Like, nobody in my church cared that the Super Bowl was happening a month and a half ago.
I didn't care about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been here if National Championship College was playing, though.
They didn't care about that either. Oh, it's just I care about that. Is kind of nice because we don't have to come in the next day and listen to people cry because their team won or lost or whatever.
No, you don't hear that out of me, but yeah. I'm going to watch it.
I tell you what, though, one of the first times I ever, like, hung out with Steve Skates was on a golf course. Steve was a man. Steve had
awesome man of God.
Great man of God.
Pastor for what, like 40 something years?
At least. Retired like four times and just they kept asking him to come back because he was just fantastic. Tremendous short game. Man.
On golf?
When you got close to the green, Steve Skates shined like a diamond.
Really?
Oh, it was game on. Oh. If you're within like 20 feet of the green, like Steve was putting it in.
Golf's one of them things I want to learn how to play, but every time I try, it makes me mad.
I love golf. Dude, man, it takes so much time. And, like, it hurts less than jiu-jitsu. I would rather play golf than jiu-jitsu, but jiu-jitsu takes less time.
Every time I go to the driving range, anyway, it hurts, though.
Yeah, I'm a little sore.
I guess it's because I'm not playing but once a year or whatever, but.
So what's the line on this then? You can be a pastor and not play golf. Like how often or not often do you have to play? I play one tournament a year, and I practice for a week or two before that, and then I'm fired up, so I play for like four more days after.
Well, our town has like a pastor golf tournament every year or something, don't they? Some kind of church golf tournament
or
something?
They used to do Hollywood Baptist. Nobody calls it Hollywood anymore. It's HBC Rome. Used to have the David Harper Classic that was a fundraiser for missions, and he hated that they put his name on it, but, like, it had to have somebody's name on it. So we played in that. Me and my brother used to play in it. Maybe that's the one you're thinking about.
I don't know. I just know every pastor that I've met in Rome has always talked about going and playing some tournament, and I always know other pastors that are going to the same tournament.
I gotta find out what this tournament
is. I don't know what it is about. I just hear about it. I've never been to one.
But, I mean, I guess you could be a pastor and not play golf, but, man, you got to give your pastor something. He's got to have something.
So whoever made that sign, though, they had a reason behind it.
I'm sure there was a probably plays golf 6 days a week or whatever.
It's probably like the whole why does the presidents play golf so much? Well, the current one don't because he can't.
It's like I don't play golf that much.
Well, the only reason the one we have now don't play is because he can't. I like to see him swing a golf club.
I wouldn't.
It'd throw him in attraction.
I don't want to see his. Yeah.
It'd throw him in attraction.
It would. I'm not in attraction. I'm thinking right now. I pulled this muscle in my back today, and I'm thinking about swinging a golf club, and it's pretty far down on the list of things that I'm excited about trying.
Yeah.
You don't have to play golf. My sneaking suspicion is that that's pointed at somebody.
A particular pastor.
Yeah. And I guess there are pastors out there who, like, part of their compensation is, like, a country club membership.
Well, I'm sure if we were keeping up with the big names, the Osteens and all that, right, he probably plays golf out the wazoo. I don't know.
Does Osteen play golf?
He seems even too soft for golf.
He kind of does. Like maybe he's got somebody that plays golf for him. What did we shoot today?
Your brother plays golf, that means you're playing golf.
Yeah, you're playing golf out there with him. I do all my own stunts. So if you ever see me on the golf course or hear that I was there, it was me.
Emotional damage.
You see a club flying through the air. Man. That wasn't me.
Mark Summers was a. It was probably me. He used to fish. His thing was fishing.
Oh, I love fishing.
Yeah. One of our old pastors, he used to fish. He loved fishing. It was great.
Ron was the Falcons.
Ron loved the Falcons. And that's okay. You can be a football fan.
It is.
You can play golf. So that guy's – the sign about the pastor playing golf is wrong. You guys got to have something. He's got to have some kind of outlet that's not his people dumping stuff on him all the time. He's got to have somewhere he can go and get a few minutes of – not being a pastor, it never escapes you because inevitably, like, the drink cart will come over. aren't you the pastor of that church? Did you pray for my, you know, whatever? Like, yeah, okay, cool. Like,
and you really want one of them beers, but now you can't drink it because you just prayed with this girl. But yeah, I prayed for and then got two Coors Lights.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with the Coors Lights, but it just ain't the best look to go about that. You get it from the next one.
Right. Roll it out.
Oh, I feel like I need to change this one, but God can still move without a keys player.
Oh, so basically, without a piano player.
You ain't got to have a piano for God to be there.
Or a keyboard player.
Right.
Well, that goes like we have said 1,000 times that he can move without a smoke machine and all that. Yeah. It's the same.
The great Babylon Bee article.
But, I mean, the holy smoke is great.
If you can have holy smokes, that's great. Yeah, but it's not necessary.
No.
So, like.
With another 90% of the stuff they do in the church now is unnecessary.
Yeah, so much of it is, man. And I don't know. God can move without a keys player, is that what it said?
Yeah.
Without a keys player. I hope so, man. We have zero instrumentation in our church.
Well, there's a guitar over there, but ain't nobody playing it.
There is a guitar propped up in the corner. I don't know the last time it was played. It's never been played in this church. But it's mossy oak camouflage. If anybody's interested in taking it off my hands, I need to unload it. But, yeah, we're not anti-music. Like, there's some churches that are. Like, they don't think you got to have instruments or whatever at all. We're good with that. We just don't have anybody that can play one. But we feel like God, you know, shows up and does his thing regardless.
Yeah. And most of the time, we've talked about it several times, but when you have all that hoopla going on, you're just invoking an emotional experience.
That's it, man.
You know, and I know it's not, there's exceptions to everything. So I know there's churches out there with full bands that are doing God's work. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But the ones you're tuning in and seeing on TV most of the time.
There's the audio. That's the audio from the TikTok. We're going to get copyrighted now for half a second of Panic at the Disco or whatever it was.
I'm going to have PTSD now.
Yeah, right?
I can't even remember what I was talking about.
You
because
were talking
I heard,
about.
I heard the Deftones.
I'll bring it. Was it Deftones? Is that who that was? I didn't hear enough of it to identify. So God can move without a keys player. God can also move without a strings player. He can move without a drummer. He can move without.
Theoretically speaking, he can move without anybody or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if I walk out this front door when we're done recording this podcast, get hit by a bus and I'm gone, somebody else will preach here Sunday. Like, that's just, you know, that's the way it is. So you can do that any one of us, but these things in particular, these implements that we're talking about, like, you don't need them. They're great. They're cool if you got them, but it's not, you're talking about invoking an emotional response.
Yeah.
I remember being at, was it 99X that did the On the Brick series?
Yeah, the free concerts.
Okay, yeah. So we went down one time to see Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie.
And Tonic opened up for them.
Who was that? Who was
another
Tonic?
Band along the same lines as Hootie and the Blowfish. But I watched this lady like raise her hands and sing like she was in church while she's listening. Tonic was, they were solid.
Oh, it was to the Tonic band?
Was it Tonic?
I just can't think of
it. Who was the Closing Time band? That's in Closing Time, One Last Call. It was them.
Okay.
So they're playing another one of their songs, but she's got her hands up and she's doing, you know, one of these while she's singing. And I was like, I saw a lady do that in church the other day. And like, it's the exact same thing. So like, have we, you know, invoke this emotional response in church the same way that it was at this secular concert?
Absolutely.
Like, that was a light bulb moment for me. I was like, well, that's kind of dumb. Like, what are we doing?
I was wondering what Hootie song she was doing this to. I only want to be with you.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That would be odd.
But yeah, it's just not necessary. God can, people ask me that all the time because we sing the Psalms here. And it would be the same if you just sang out of like a Redback hymnal. When you sing first, second, and fourth verse, and then the song's over, and they're like, well, where does the Holy Spirit move in that? Like, are you serious? Like,
it's the word of
God. Yeah, the words that are coming out of our mouth. I tell my people, like, that's your sermon. Like, I stand up here in front of the room and I talk or whatever. But when you guys sing, especially when we're, you know, we're singing the Psalms, like, that's the word of God. That's your sermon coming back out. And we could have a guitar, but it's not necessary.
Well, I've been in many churches that even when they're up there doing all that, if you don't, if you're not worshiping like everybody around you, well, then here comes the coaching.
Yeah,
right, actually right. Grab the mic and be like, you know, God wants to see you raise your hands in the air and dance around and da-da-da-da-da.
I'm out.
And see you free in the spirit. And I'm like, okay, there might not necessarily be anything wrong with what they just said.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I'm sure God has no problem with me dancing around in joy for him. Yeah. But if that's not where I'm at the moment, you think he wants me to fake it just to make y'all feel good about what you're doing?
And if you can worship with your hands up, I can worship with my hands in my pockets.
Yeah.
You know, and it just doesn't matter.
The difference between me and y'all is I'm not waiting on Sunday to come put on my worship as a display to everybody.
Yeah.
I worship God all through the week when I'm thinking about him all day at work and hearing that and wondering, you know, where we stand as far as how I'm living. That's my worship to God, is a continuous search for him. It's not getting up there and shaking it on a Sunday.
Well, but we feel like we're going to get to a certain point, right? People think if I worship hard enough and I'll like unlock a new level or, you know, whatever, like level up, you get V-Bucks for, you know.
Well, I used to think maybe there's just a secret prayer. I'm not saying the right words. You know what I mean? Like, why are my, as you'll hear, you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling, you know? You've heard that. Why is my prayers hitting the ceiling? Because I'm not being obedient.
Hey, you know, you can pray all day and God didn't listen to my prayer. Well, like, because you're living like trash.
No, he's always listening to them.
We're going to get to this, I think, in a second. The prayer, right? There's some things about prayer.
We can go to the next sign because
this next one is near and dear to my heart, but it also feels very, very political. Let's bring back the VeggieTales.
Bring back the VeggieTales. I was never very big into that. Yeah. I missed that.
I was too old. Well, I think we both were too old for VeggieTales. Missed them.
My mom wouldn't have showed them to me anyway.
Yeah. I want to say there was some type of heresy attached to the VeggieTales at some point.
I think the new VeggieTales.
Is that what it is? I don't know.
It's the new ones because they got a little.
Did the VeggieTales go woke?
I think so.
Oh, really? Is there like a cucumber that thinks it's an orange?
Probably.
I think there's a gay one now.
There's a gay man. Why? Why?
Why? Because this world's going to conform.
Or it was like a tomato who thought he was a pickle or something.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm an okra, but I identify as a zucchini squash.
Yeah, can't even have cartoons anymore, man.
Nah.
I mean, the cartoons we watched wasn't absolutely great, but they wouldn't just put in the heresy right there in your face.
Yeah, and just throwing all kinds of stuff at us.
It was like He-Man and stuff, you know.
Yeah, you know, the Scooby-Doo gang used to go around and pull the mask off, right? Now everybody's trying to put it on and be something they're not.
And the monsters was always a human.
Always a dude, every time, without fail.
Next one.
We're the real monsters.
Tango's ready to get this over with.
No.
We just don't have much to say about vegetables.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy the vegetables.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Podcasts are not a substitute for reading your Bible.
Wow, 100% true.
Is it? It's going to hurt your ratings.
It might. But like,
I mean, you're not preaching, though.
I'm not preaching, and it shouldn't be mistaken for preaching either, or reading your Bible. And the best example of that is in our last episode, when I got ready to quote a verse of scripture and it just escaped me, all of a sudden it was gone. And then when I said it, it was wrong. So it was that, right? So it was the substance of things, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I got it backwards. When I finally could remember it, I said it wrong. So like, no.
Is this an apology?
No, it's not an apology. When you apologize. No, it absolutely is. Like I should have had that right. And I had it. It was here. And then PJ was on like, he was on Fireball at the time, and I stopped and I was like, I'll keep that right there. And if I don't say something now, I'll forget it, you know, every time. So he got done with what he was saying, and then I went to say it and it was just gone. And then when I finally got, it was a good 8-10 seconds. I kind of fumbled and I was trying to get to it, and then I got to it and it was wrong. But had you just been reading the page, you would have known, and it wouldn't have.
If you wasn't recording, you'd have got it perfect, man.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And the camera and lights and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not. It shouldn't be. I hope nobody listens to this podcast and they're like, well, I heard a pastor talk this week, so I'm good. It does come out on Sundays.
You are a pastor.
I am a pastor. For better or for worse, right?
They still need to read their Bible.
They do. I don't know the whole thing. Like, I couldn't start right here and quote you, you know, beginning of Genesis to end of Revelation.
Does listening to the Bible count as reading the Bible?
I think it does. And there was a time when I would have said no, but, like, at my former job, when I was an educator, there were kids who had an individualized education program. We call it an IEP, who required, like, they had to go out into a small group in a different room from the rest of the class and have, like, tests read to them because they didn't process, like, reading the book. When you look at old churches, like, really old churches, especially, like, European, you know, 15, 16.
Before people could read.
Before people could read, you had the stained glass pictures and things and the all this fantastic artwork in the church, and it told the story of the Bible. So the common man who couldn't read the book could look at these things and somebody could say, you know, that's Zacchaeus, and he's in this tree, and this is Jesus, and he comes up, and he's trying to tell him, you know. So, like, oh, okay, cool. So, in spite of the fact that I can't read at all, I can understand the Bible. So, artwork, you know, listening, everybody that can read it should, 100%.
For me, I kind of have a double standard on it, though, because I'm all like, I count it with the Bible, because I know I can listen to hours of the Bible while I'm at work, mm-hmm. as opposed to if I sit down and read it, I'm probably going to read for about 30 minutes, and then I'm going to be done. But I can listen for hours.
Right.
But when it comes to, like, other books, I'm like, if I don't read it, I didn't read it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like a little double standard for myself. It's like, if I buy David Goggins' book, I got to read this book.
Yeah.
But also, I'm listening to the Bible. I'm like, well, I have read the entire Bible.
Cover to cover.
But I don't remember all of it.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to it and just keeping, you know, getting myself back refreshed with stuff I haven't read in a while.
Well, the Bible's the only book for me. When I pick up a book, any book that's not the Bible, I think, I don't know why, but it, like, starts a clock for me. And I feel like I've got a certain, and I don't even know what the amount of time is, but I feel like I got a certain amount of time to read this book, whatever it is. And then, like, there's a lot of books that I don't finish. I've read the first two chapters of a million books because the time just expired. I don't know why. The Bible's going to be there, right? It's always there. So you go back to it and you read it every day and you read something that you've read a million times before just because it's more important than these other books that have a timetable or whatever, real or imagined.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been back in the Old Testament, and there's stuff I don't remember any of this.
Right.
I don't remember liking Joshua this much.
Joshua was cool.
And I'm all like, man, because I don't know. I guess when you're listening to it, it's like listening to a story. Instead of sitting there and reading it, I get into it a little more.
Yeah. Well, you were one of, I don't know if you heard PJ's episode or not, you were one of three people that brought up Jacob in the same day with me.
Okay.
A week and a half ago, whatever it was. Talk about wrestling with the angel, you know, all that stuff. And, like, three people that same day were like, hey, what about Jacob? Like, well, that's pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
It is. And when I joined Cassville, Hayden, I don't think you were there because it was in, we were doing two services at the time. And I had decided, like, that's the day I'm going to join the church. And I went to the 9 o'clock service and there was a guest pastor, a guest preacher.
That's always such a disappointment. Man.
So I went down front anyway in the church, and I was like, hey, I want to join this church. And he was like, well, you know, I'm not, you know, the pastor or whatever. And he had preached that sermon that day. His name was Jim Martin. And I looked at Mr. Martin and I said, don't make me wrestle you for my blessing. So he turns his mic back on and he's like, hey, we need a deacon up here, like ASAP. So Walt Pittman came up and we got squared away, and
I love that story because we were talking about it that day. I sent it to you.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, he touched his hip and threw his hip out of socket, but they continued to wrestle till morning.
Held on anyway.
So these dudes were in full jiu-jitsu locks.
Yeah.
Well, a dude and God.
Yeah.
And he held on to him for however long. I don't know if you've ever had anything come dislocated.
Oh, it's the worst.
But it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot.
It's terrible.
And I mean, not to mention, you know, you're wrestling with an angel of God.
With a touch. Like, he dislocated his hip with just a touch. Yeah.
He didn't have to do no special murder hug or nothing.
Yeah, no black belt technique. A touch. Ugh, That's terrible.
But he kept holding on to him until he got his blessing. Yeah. And that's what I told you that day. I'm like, man, that's what's really speaking to me right now. Is you hear a lot of people talk about it, but you don't, I don't know. It just hit home for me that day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we do things like we get fired up about reading the Bible and going to church. And we do it for a while, 6 years, 6 months, a year, 10 years. And then, like, life gets hard. And we're like, oh, I don't have time or I don't feel like it. And then it's been 6 months or a year, and you haven't read your Bible or gone to church. And then, you know, because we're not willing to hold on.
Yeah.
Even when we're hurt or things are tough or whatever. You know, we don't want to hang on and just persevere through the tough parts. But that's what Jacob did.
That's where your character is shown.
Yeah.
For sure.
Who are you really?
When it's easy to be joyful and thankful when everything is going groovy.
Yeah. Which one, what board was that even?
Podcast Aren't Church.
Okay, yeah.
Which leads us into the next one. So you want God to speak to you. There's a book for that.
Imagine that. Imagine that.
Everything God ever wanted us to know is in that book.
Yeah. I feel like that goes on you see so many people preaching online that don't even mention any scripture, really, you know, like your Osteen's and stuff. He might throw in like one little piece of scripture for a whole hour of service.
Yeah.
Man, without that book, what is our faith?
Who was it? Somebody was talking about what does it mean to be Christ-like? Maybe it was a social media thing I was reading. But like, what do you know about Christ if you don't know the Bible, if you're not reading the Bible?
Yeah.
I know what it was. It was a guy, he's a pastor of a church in Milwaukee, that said you can have your Bible-centered Christianity. Like, you can keep it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. You can keep your Bible-centered Christianity. I'm going to keep a Jesus-centered church. Or
I'll
something.
Be over here trying to just love people like Jesus did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then the response to that became, well, how do you know who Jesus is without the Bible?
Yeah.
Well, like, there's parts of the Bible that hurt your feelings, right?
Yeah,
so people want to unload that and go, well, I don't need that Bible. I'll just be like Jesus. Well, who was Jesus? Explain him to me without mentioning any scripture at all, you know.
That's so what the world's trying to do, though. They want to separate that word from God, and then, okay, you got this massive piece taken away, then how easy will it be to get rid of God when you've gotten rid of the Word of God?
Well, then you've made a God in your own image, right? Because when you get rid of who God is, as outlined in the Bible, like, you can make him whoever you want him to be.
Yeah.
And I want God to like all of my sins, all the stuff that my pride and all the things that I want to do, and like, that's cool, I'm good with that. Well, like, no, that's not how that works. Like, the sign I sent you guys today, and I forget what church the guy was from, but he was a homosexual pastor. It's hard for me to even say those words, but the sign got a new sign out front of his church, and it
said
Jesus
was flamboyant.
God is flamboyant, and God is downtown, and he's all these things. And that was what I thought. I was like, man, you've made a God. Like, this God is who you wanted him to be. Yeah. That's not the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
But that's the easy way. Like, let's just make him who I want him to be. That's tough. Like, man, I would love for God to be who I want him to be. That would be so much easier.
Yeah. How do you really even combat it? Because they're so indwelled in their sin and wanting everybody to tell them it's okay. Well, if you've made it to the point where you're homosexual pastor or whatever, because I've sent you some stuff before and you've been like, oh yeah, look at what the church is. It's a LGBTQ friendly church, yada yada. And it's like, let me get this straight. Every church should be a LGBTQ friendly church. Like, anybody should be allowed there.
I've done an episode about that.
Yeah, like, anybody should be allowed to come to church. That's not what we're saying here. What we're saying here is the word that we say we believe in puts criteria on the leaders in the church and how they should be living.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't go be under a gay pastor. I just can't. You know what I mean? So, like, but how do we draw our line with knowing they're out there doing that? It's like, can you really even go there and flip over tables? Because that's not a house of God.
Yeah. Well, and it's not going to do any good anyway. Like, you know, I was talking to somebody a while back, and they were like, what are you going to do at the Pride Parade? Man, what can I do at the Pride Parade? Like, I can talk to any one of those people, I think, and make some inroads But it's not going to do me any good to stand out in the street and shout at these people that walk by in groups who would then, like, maybe not attack me physically, but, like, we would have this conversation, me and 35 people at one time. Like, what, I mean, what are we doing? If they would, like, if they wanted to listen to what I had to say, then, like, okay, cool. Probably not. Like, we've seen these videos. That's not how that goes.
Not typically.
Yeah.
Because that your first interaction, as soon as you bring up Jesus, well, boom, they go on the defensive.
Right.
They feel like you're attacking them with Jesus. Yeah,
and an individual.
And then they're
right,
like, well, now you think you're better than me because you're not gay.
Right.
And it's like, man, this is, there's no arguing with certain people.
That's why I've given up. Like, I don't argue in the comment sections on social media anymore.
I do.
Because it's you versus 80 people, right? And like,
I do, okay. But I'm a bit of a troll.
I mean, trolling is one thing, but like, I
keep it to a, I keep
luxury.
It to a certain level.
Yeah, yeah,
most of the time,
right?
Yeah, level grows just, depending on how irritated I get. But
I mean, I don't know. I wish I could. As soon as I always think, like, as soon as I flip somebody off in traffic, they'll show up at my church on Sunday.
Right.
So, like, I have that same mindset or try to on social media. And be like, oh,
having a church sticker on the back of my car has kept me from showing out before.
Okay.
But I don't have one back there now.
Game on, right?
I don't have one on there right now.
Let's love individuals, man. And, like, you know, that is what it is. And I did an episode about that once, how the church should relate to that community. And it's not to throw rocks at them and, you know, be like, you're all going to hell forever. Like, you know, Jesus, John the Baptist both say, you know, repent for the kingdom is at hand. So, like, there's, you've got to have that conversation. But it's not, it can't be a hateful thing. We're not supposed to hate anybody.
No, we're not called to hate.
Yeah.
He gets us.
Stop it. Next. What was that one? Just to refresh my.
That was the.
You want God
so
to
you
talk
want
to
talk
you.
To God.
Open the book, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
So we got six more.
Six more. Holy smokes.
Okay. What's the next one?
45, 46 minutes.
Okay.
Next one. Praying for someone without a mint is spiritual abuse.
Oh, this was quick and easy. I remember.
I've never had a bad experience with this that I remember.
I remember going down front in a church before and the pastor's breath just being horrible in spite of the fact that he had a mint in his mouth.
Coffee was covering it up.
I guess, yeah, just drowning it out. So, yeah, we don't do an invitation at Rome Reformed Church. If it's real on Sunday, it'll be real on Monday. Give me a holler. But yeah, no, that's a thing. Put a Tic Tac or mint, something in your mouth if you're going to, like, bring people in. Like, let's be quiet and pray in front of the church. Yeah.
I haven't had a bad experience there. Not just that I remember. Not nothing that pops out.
Yeah, I remember one time in particular, but I was pretty little and didn't have any business going down front by myself anyway. But anywho.
They should get the same breath mints doctors do. Like, I don't know what doctors, like, where they get their
they
smell
can
from.
The expensive
but they
stuff.
All smell the same.
Mm-hmm.
They all have the same breath and they all just have the same smell.
It's the.
But the nurses are in the same place as they are and they don't smell like the doctor.
Huh?
But the doctors that's always true. Have that same smell. So it's like, is there a secret doctor mint? That nobody else can get unless you have an MD.
If there's a doctor listening, you don't have to tell us what it is, but if you can just confirm that there is a secret special doctor mint, that'd be fantastic.
It's Altoids, dude. Yeah. Like, oh, I ain't had one in a long time.
Nathan Roberts, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, that was a quick one.
Next one. You can still talk to Jesus when you're not struggling.
Woo, everybody wants to wait until they're at rock bottom to be like, hey, y'all pray for me. Unspoken.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we said earlier.
Yeah.
How you treat God when life is going good and bad says a lot about your character and your relationship with God.
Yeah. I had a buddy. He's a pastor at Victory Baptist Church here in Rome. His name's Paul Vincent. One of my favorite things he ever said was that people treat Jesus like a spare tire.
Yeah.
They just get him out when they need him, you know, when things are real bad and you're stuck on the side of the road and I got this flat tire. I better get my spare out. Like, things got real. Better get spare tire Jesus out of the trunk and bolt him on. Yeah, come on. That way, you get your spare out and doesn't have any air in it. You know, because if you've waited until you needed it to even look at it, like, okay.
And the people that, the same people that are probably only contact certain people when they need something, too, though.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I get that all the time, man. Hey, will you pray for me about so-and-so? Yeah. Where are you going to church right now?
Right.
You ain't got to come to my church. Just go to church. Spare tire Jesus.
Not a good thing.
Yeah. Next.
Stop arguing about translations when you don't read any of them.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
It goes along with the waiting on God to speak and you hadn't read the book.
That goes right along with people that be like, well, I don't need church to have Jesus. You're not reading your Bible either.
No, if you do not love the church, you do not love Jesus. That's tough. That's hard. That's
the way it is. It is. And it's really hard to be, it's really hard to be efficient at your faith if you don't read the book that is the basis of our faith.
Yeah. Well, this question in particular, we talk, the church is the bride of Christ. Right? So imagine I had the nerve to say to you, hey, Chris, I love you. And let's hang out together and we're going to get to know each other and have this relationship. But I can't stand your wife.
Yeah, but that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, that's a problem. And it should be. You can't have that both ways.
I had the same conversation because I follow somebody on TikTok that they like to go over, or they like to go after certain heretic preachers out there. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I agree with everything she says.
Yeah.
But then to a point, it gets to a point where she does nothing but bag on church in general. Because she's like an ex-mega church worship lead or something like that. And then, you know, that's the comment I made one day. It's like, do you have anything positive to say about the church? Because, I mean, while I agree with most of the things you say most of the time, I see no positivity coming from you at all.
Gotta be some good stuff.
Stuff. So tell us about the good stuff too.
Yeah.
And then somebody had commented, well, you don't understand, some people had this relationship or this happened at the church and it's had hard.
That's a people issue.
I've had those same issues with just about every church I've ever been to, and I still don't give up on it.
Yeah. Well, if you lock two people in the same room long enough, like
they're gonna have issues.
You're gonna have some kind of issue and you just gotta work through it and get past it. People aren't willing to do that.
Yeah, they're not. No, they want to be humble.
That's the biggest thing, right?
Humility.
Yeah, I got to win.
Yeah.
That ain't what this is about. It ain't about winning. It's about following Christ, loving his bride. Next.
Church didn't burn you out. Your Netflix subscription did.
2,000 years later.
I mean, pretty cut and dry, right? So maybe it's not Netflix. Maybe it's
work or
entertainment, sports, Netflix, any reason you can think of to not go to church.
What do you think the basis is behind this comment, though? Is this insinuating that you quit going to church because you said you got burned out and you just wasn't being obedient in the word and watching a lot of Netflix? Is that kind of what you're getting from it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting from it. You're
putting time into your TV screen rather than the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
Or prayer or anything like that. It's about getting caught up in, I mean, it could be anything, but getting caught up in other things. But, I mean, specifically speaking of Netflix, Nathan's upstairs. You can hear him walking around. It's old building. So, like, a new series drops on Friday. There's 30 episodes, and like Sunday morning, you're still watching it. Like, I can go to church or I can watch episode 26. Church will be there next Sunday. Well, so will Netflix.
Yeah.
You know? It'll be there. Come back to it.
Yeah.
Is anything we can get caught up in?
Oh, all right. So, cool. So, church didn't burn you out. Your Netflix subscription did.
Church end. Didn't burn you out, your Netflix subscription did. I think we've beaten that dead horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, a while back, we sat down and recorded an episode, and I don't know, I didn't really think anything about it. I just thought we'd put in another episode. Tango was sort of with me on that, and then you texted me, or in our group chat, the next day
a
after,
a few days
maybe,
after, I think,
and
maybe.
You were like, hey, if that episode never sees the light of day, I'm good with it.
Well, for one thing, I couldn't remember really what we had talked about. And that let me know, because usually I can remember what we talk about.
Yeah.
But I wasn't in a good spot that day, you know. And it's like I wanted to bring it up and talk to people about it, because I've talked to you about it before. I've had my struggles with mental health and stuff like that. And I've only recently opened myself up to be okay with trying some medication. So, you know, a few months ago, I go to my doctor and we start this process and everything. So over the last few months, it's been a an adaptation, you know what
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
to this new medication. And I just want to encourage people to be open to it,
sure.
you know what I mean? Because especially like in the Christian circles here, and this has been my attitude for years, is what's kept me from doing it, was I'm all like, well, God can fix it. God can fix it.
Yeah.
And I'm all like, I just ain't said the right prayer.
Right.
I haven't worded it right or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah. And
you don't have enough faith, Chris.
I don't have enough faith or
yeah.
something like that. And then I was reminded of the story of the dude that's like drowning and a boat comes to save him. And
three rowboats and
he had three boats yeah. and a helicopter, and all of them are like, hey, and he's like, no, God will take care
yeah,
of you.
Yeah.
Well, then he dies, and God's like, well, I sent you three rowboats and a helicopter.
yeah.
And I'm all like, man, these,
yeah.
while I'm like so untrusting of like the medical, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
and politics and all that kind of stuff, I'm like, I've got to try something.
Yeah.
So I went to my doctor and I had this talk with him. And I also knew that I was low on testosterone because I used to be on it. And I quit taking it because it made me have these bug out emotional episodes, roid rage.
That. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so anyway, a few months ago, I guess it would be about 4 months ago now, I went and got put on an antidepressant. And it's worked wonderful for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very up. I'm extreme. Somebody would probably call me bipolar or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
But my doctor don't like giving him labels. I've been to a therapist that don't want to give me them labels. And I'm all like, so as far as telling people what I am, I don't know. I'm
right.
messed up in
right.
the head. When I was a young man, I loved Colombian energy products and dabbled in a lot of different things in my younger days. It's probably had some effect on my brain chemistry
now. And you've
now.
Had some trauma and other things too.
And a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
And all those things, I just came to, I'm all like, I'm not a less of a person because I went through these things.
Man.
But there's effects that going through these things have had on me
yeah.
that I can't fix by myself. And
yeah.
I've been trying for years and years and years. It's like, you know, you got the, all this stuff piles up that you think only you're dealing with
right.
and all this. And it's like, man, I don't have to feel like that every day. I was walking around with this impending doom too of
yeah.
like, well, life's really good today. That means everything's going to hit the fan tomorrow.
Right.
Just irrational things, man. And given when I'm being completely obedient, it would always get better,
mm-hmm.
but it never went away.
Yeah.
And it still hasn't went all the way away. I still have, I can tell, okay, if I wouldn't have my medication, today would be one of them days. It's like just enough of it still creeps in that I'm all like, if I wasn't on this medication, today would be one of them days that I left work and went home and just stayed in my bedroom for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But now that I've tried this, those days don't happen like that anymore.
Right.
And if anything, it's quietened the inner dialogue down enough for me to be able to focus on other stuff like listening or reading the Bible
yeah.
or going to the gym. And then after being back on it for a couple of months, I went back to my doctor about a month ago and I'm like, hey, now that we've got this going a little better, I want to get back on the testosterone because I still don't have any energy.
Yeah.
So then he gave me the testosterone. And of course, that first time I took it, ooh, buddy, I was fit to be tired.
I'll bet.
I was ill.
You reintroduced like that into your system?
Yeah, it always happens 2 days later. Because
yeah.
I do the injection because my insurance don't want to pay for that other expensive stuff.
Right.
So I do the injection, and then 2 days later, I'm like, argh. So I did it that first time, and I'm texting my wife from work. I'm like, if it does this every time, I ain't gonna keep doing it.
Yeah,
I can't keep doing it.
Yeah.
So then the second week rolls around, and I'm all like, we're going to do it again, see what happens. Well, I've done it 3 more times since then, and it's been pretty decent. Energy level's coming up. I'm way more pleasant to be around, and I don't have so many bug out and go hide moments.
Right.
I haven't had any, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I just wasn't feeling good about what we recorded. Couldn't remember what we talked about. I remember just wanting to get done with it.
Yeah.
So I could go home and hide.
So this would have been back in, December, I guess.
Yeah, I was still dealing with the medicine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's leveled out way more now.
Yeah.
you know, and those first couple of months was just, man, it was kind of a roller coaster. Kind of got to hang it out, you know, and give it a shot. You know, the thing that kept me taking it and wanting to keep trying it was it didn't make it worse.
Yeah.
Like those first few days I was on it, man, I thought, man, I will be skinny as a rail in 3 months. Because I felt so much better. I had all this energy.
Right.
Well, then the energy kind of dumped off. But then the stability of mindset and stuff
right.
has been way mo better.
Man, if you hit yourself on the thumb with a hammer and it hurts, like real bad, like swells up, it's not broken, you know, yeah. but it hurts. Like, well, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to take some Advil, ibuprofen, whatever, and get rid of the inflammation. Well, like if you twist your ankle, you got a headache, like you take some Tylenol. So like when you're injured, we'll take medicine. If we're sick, if we're nauseous, we'll swallow something to keep us from throwing up, you know, whatever. So, like, why, if you're having issues with your mind and your thoughts, like, why wouldn't you also take medicine for that?
Yeah.
You know, God can heal your thumb the same way he can heal your mind. God also gave us this knowledge, right?
Yeah.
And it's not that, you know, we want to be on psychotropic drugs to make everything better all the time. There's a lot of people on medicine that don't need it, but there's a lot of people that do need it. And it's, you know, for those people and under the right circumstances, you can live with yourself now, you know? And
yeah, man. And I mean, I was against it for a long time because I'm all like, because I almost feel like though, because I know I have a few people that's known me for a long time that always kind of, you've been through so much, you're strong, or did it, and they almost kind of pumped me up, and I'm grateful for it.
Yeah,
I'm grateful for that
yeah.
positive people in my life, but it also becomes like this little worm in your head. It's like, well, if I go get more help, I'm letting them down.
Yeah.
They think
yeah.
I'm this big, strong dude that's
right.
overcame all this crap, and I'm still pushing along, while on the inside, I'm falling completely apart.
Right.
So it's like, I almost felt like I was going to be letting somebody down that I finally was like, okay, I'll go try some medication.
Yeah.
But now I'm all like, I don't care. What, you know,
you just had to get to that point.
My wife would tell you I'm a completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
She would be like, you are so much more lovable, you know,
yeah.
pleasant, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even nicer to the dog, you know what I mean? Like, everything, like my patience level has went up. That don't mean come try me, but my patience level is increased
yeah.
exponentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just our interactions, and we haven't seen each other face to face in a couple months at least, but you know, through text messaging and whatever, like it's been different.
Yeah.
You know, there's been conversation where there were a lot of times when it was just, you were just sending me a TikTok, you know,
yeah.
or something along those
yeah.
lines. But we'd have conversation about scripture and the things mm-hmm. of God. And, you know, we talked about a couple other different things here recently, but that's a noticeable change even in text messages.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm still leveling out, you know, there's still, I don't know, man. Like I just get in them funks and don't want to do anything.
Right.
And if I make myself do it, I'm just going to be miserable when I do it.
Yeah.
So I learned a long time ago, don't bring it. This is also a bad thing too, because the bad part about dealing with depression is you don't want to go around people because you're afraid you're going to give them your depression.
Yeah. And they're going to notice it and it's going to rub off on them.
Yeah. Or they're going to notice it and bring it up and you don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Or you're going to make them depressed too. And
yeah.
you're like, oh, I can't afford to make them depressed because I just can't, you know what I mean? I don't want to be responsible for that. So you want to lock yourself away when you're feeling that way.
Oh man. Yeah. No, I get it. Cause we've all been there on some level, whether we want to admit it or not. Right.
Yeah. Well, then I read or not read. I see stuff like, what's the dude? Tate. What's his name?
Andrew Tate.
Wow. I can appreciate a lot of the stuff the dude has said. There's a lot of stuff he says. I'm like, you just don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's writing that down right now. Because he says that depression is a luxury. That's what he says. He's like, depression's a luxury. My father went and did however many hours of work today. Da, da, da. You never heard him talking about being depressed.
That guy is so unrealistic on so many levels.
And it's like, while I want to believe that,
mm-hmm.
like there's a part of me that's like, yeah, I want to be that. Just man up, dude. Just cowboy up. Make it happen. I've tried that for years and years, and it didn't help.
Does he think his dad was like fired up about going and punching the time clock every day and doing like pulling the same lever or 17 hours a day or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's like, no denying that, yeah, men are getting softer, whatever.
Yeah.
But I tried that way for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
To just man up and deal with it. And it's like, man, well, then you can deal with it. But if your chemicals are still all messed up, you're not going to deal with it very well.
Right.
You know, like therapy, I would encourage people to go do therapy. I've done that too. And it does help. But no amount of therapy is going to change the chemicals in your brain if there's something
you
wrong.
You just learn how to deal with it.
Yeah. And I've had a good handful of concussions. I've had chemical experiences. I've done a number on this brain.
Yeah.
And I'm getting older now. So it's all like, man, I don't want to live however much longer I got.
Time to pay the piper, right?
You being depressed.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if depression's a luxury or not.
I don't think it is. I really don't. Nobody wants to be depressed. Nobody enjoys it. It's not like.
I think it's what people don't. When I hear somebody talk like that, I'm like, well, you've never felt that before.
Right.
Because the reasoning behind it is, well, you can't just get depressed and go home. You have to work and provide for your family. I'm like,
sure.
Well, you don't understand that in that moment, I don't care about feeding anybody or doing anything for anybody. I don't want to be here no more.
Right.
So I have to go hide.
Yeah.
You've obviously never felt that, or you would make such a dumb statement.
Or he is depressed himself, and that's his way of deflecting.
Hiding.
And yeah, you know, I'll just be tough and not like, because he's going through some stuff too. You know, he's been arrested and all kinds of stuff lately, and like, he might be dealing with some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's easy to be like, oh, I'm a tough kickboxer, whatever.
I feel like I'm a pretty tough guy, but I mean, there's some stuff that you just need to get help with.
It is hard to fight some things that go on in your own brain.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? Some exercise, like, that helps. But, like, is there some bench? If I bench press 300 pounds, will it change my thoughts? No, probably not.
Well, a lot of people in the church say, we need to pray about it. You think I ain't done that?
Oh, man.
You think I haven't done that for years and years and years? I've been doing that same thing.
Well, you get in that point and you'll try, sure, let's pray about it. You know, even if that wasn't on the radar to begin with, like, I'll pray about it. It's a real struggle. And one you would rather not be in the middle of.
Right.
You know, let this cup pass. Like, I don't want any part of that. It's tough, but it's really cool that you can come in and talk about it on the microphone and the camera and the untold millions of people that are going to watch this.
Well, it's such a benefit. I mean, I know my kid can tell the difference too. My family can tell the difference. And
there you go.
If it makes them happier, it's automatically going to make me happier.
Yeah.
And knowing that it makes them happier to see me happier.
Everybody
that's
wins.
Just awesome.
Yeah,
that's
everybody
just
wins.
A love Sunday.
When you're right and your energy's there and your mental is there, you're more likely to take your family to church. You know, you're talking about going to work out at the gym and doing all these other things that you get back when you get your brain right and your testosterone, all these different things. Like, yeah, you're more likely to be just who you're supposed to be, and then. Not even you kind of took the focus off of you for a second,
yeah,
and made it about your family and about other people around you and what a benefit it is for them. It's a big deal, and people don't look at it that way either.
Yeah, and I've also took the pressure off myself at a lot of stuff too. Like when it comes to the working out thing, it used to be, man, I gotta go in there and kill myself because I gotta get in shape today.
Right,
it's not gonna happen today.
No,
and if I don't enjoy what I'm doing, I'm not gonna go. So I go a few times a week. I lift. If I feel like doing some cardio, I do some cardio. I'm just doing more than I usually do. It doesn't have to be so strategic. It's just go get moving around. Get the juices flowing.
Just do something. Yeah.
We all feel better after we work out, except for you.
Every time. I know, my guy's down there strangling me. But even that, as much as it hurts to get contorted, you know, like there are a lot of times when I'm like, man, I am not feeling this tonight. I do not want to go in there and train with all those murderers. And then, like, you get to the end of class, and I've never regretted it, not once. And, you know, I know, like, I'm going to struggle to get out of bed the next morning. It's going to hurt. I'm going to be sore, you know.
I'm going to struggle to get up regardless of what I do.
Right. I pulled a muscle in my back today, and I don't know how. So, like, that's where we're at in life.
That's 40.
Yeah. 45, 46, a few months. But, it's worth it. You know, find something positive. Maybe medicine helps you. You know, maybe you find some other outlet that does it for you, whatever it is, but like being open about it, like that's the difference. Somebody like Tate talks about his dad who just like grinded himself, you know, at this same job forever and ever. Like his dad just didn't talk about it. You know, maybe he just wasn't honest about it, but like these guys that I know, my Uncle Sam, who we, our lives only briefly overlapped, grew up during the Depression. And at one point he found a job, but it was like 14 miles away. Well, guess what he did?
He walked to work every day.
Didn't have a car. Couldn't afford a car. Like couldn't move closer to the job because he couldn't afford to move close. Like he would walk there and back every day. Like, holy smokes.
He was
the guys do what he had to do. He looked like a Norman Rockwell picture. He was like 6'8" and had giant hands, but did what he had to do. And like, he was not happy about it. Like, it wasn't like, I can't wait to get up and walk 14 miles to work. Like, it was awful. He walked from Rome to like Arrigan, I think, at the time.
Golly, bum.
Yeah, it was terrible. Long, long walk.
That's the most hill climbing route.
Yeah.
You can walk out of Rome.
Nothing fun about it. You know, just beasting it because he's just what he had to do. Not fired up about it. So, like, you know, but you couldn't talk about it at the time. It was the Great Depression. What were you going to say?
Everybody was depressed. Had a rough.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you also have to look at family history, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have a mother that committed suicide, and my stepdad also committed suicide. And there's like a part of you that's always afraid that there's something in the family that you're not going to be able to control one day. Yeah. Or maybe whatever had a hold, because I know who my mom was, but I also know what part of her made her do what she did.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that more than I would like to understand that. And I'm just all like, whatever level she got to, I can't get there.
Yeah.
I can't allow myself to get there. And she obviously had her issues too. And while she would go to the doctor and try to get every pill under the sun for whatever, it was never for that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's all like, man, I can't take that risk anymore. I got a daughter to watch grow up.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like that.
Right.
All this family that I've had, it's passed away. It's like, well, I'm still here. I'm the only one left other than like my daughter and a few handful of people here and there. I can't afford to take that chance anymore of whatever my mom had and all that. Like, I can't do that. I got to do something different than what she did and just sit around and self-medicate and wait on it to get better.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And that means going to your doctor and breaking down and crying like a baby because you can't talk about your feelings without doing so.
Right. It just all comes out of
us. Oh, it's hard for it not to come out right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. You know, my doctor has seen all my stuff.
Yeah.
What's seeing me cry going to do? You know what I mean? He's seen my nerve regions. He can handle a little bit of tears, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I will say this, too. I'm not going to put him on blast or nothing because I don't want to mention nobody's name, but my doctor's the first one that's ever mentioned church to me when I went in there talking about depression.
Really? Huh. I want to know off air who this guy is.
Yeah, but well, I'll tell you, like years ago, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But now, like over the last couple of years, there's like pamphlets in the waiting room and everything like that. Great man. I love him to death.
Okay.
And but, yeah, that was one of the first things he said that day when I was like, Doc, I've had enough. I'm ready to try medicine, whatever. You know, we go through that whole process of me telling him what I don't want to take and him going through, well, we're going to try this, and are you going to church anywhere? And I was like, in the moment, I'm all like, yeah, I got a buddy that has a church. You know, I'm just trying to get out of there and get what I needed.
Right.
But later I sat and thought, I'm like, man, that was probably breaking some kind of law or something that I don't even know exists. I don't know, but I just thought it meant a lot to me that he asked me that question.
Yeah. No, that's a big deal. But it's nice that you've got somebody that'll be that open with you as you're being that open with them.
Yeah.
Builds a little bit of trust on that end.
It's
tough for a lot of folks to trust the medical profession these days after the last couple of years, but it's a big deal, man. It's like I said, it's a big deal for you to bring it out on this episode. And
I just felt like it was necessary because I didn't feel good about that one, you know, and I want to try to do my best every time. And if we're not giving something interesting or funny or whatever or educational, then what's the point?
Yeah.
You know,
it's gotta be something.
Yeah.
This one I feel like has been something. especially these last few minutes. First hour or so was just a good clean fun, but what you got, Tango?
This last 20 minutes has been great.
Right?
It's been eye-opening. Kind of one of those good episodes that
makes
you reevaluate things and people in your lives.
I think the kids call it a banger, right?
A banger. It's bussing.
It's a banger.
This one slaps. Is this stuff still slab? I don't know.
Is it still off the hook, or have we put it on the hook? It used to be off the hook. Remember?
Nobody even knows what a hook is anymore. Everybody just, you push the button. You don't even get the hang up anymore.
It's not off the hook no more. It's fly, though.
It can be fly. You know what? We're just going to make it fly.
I never let fly die. You got to keep flying.
Fly's been around. This episode was fire.
It was pimping.
Ooh, that's a, yeah. All right. Great place to jump off. But, man, thanks for coming on. And
hey, thanks for having me.
For spilling your guts. And it's going to be awesome stuff to come that we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes off air.
Awesome stuff.
You guys will get to see it later. Having said that, God bless you guys. We love you. See you next time. This is his favorite part these days because he stays rolling after the...
And then he gets the little outtakes that he can begin the show with.
Yeah, yeah. Man, did you listen to this last episode with PJ?
No, I ain't listened to that one yet.
I'm going to point this next one out.
All right.
He's got like an OG Anaheim Ducks jersey, which is pretty baller.
All
like
right.
07
is, nope.
I think.
I watched you change.
I watched you change.
And you.
We're keeping all of that.
You get copyrighted. It was so good and close to the original that we'll definitely get a copyright strike on that.
He's going
to
use that as the opening
little scramble
there.
Don't write that down. That's not funny.